Homeschooling my kids was absolutely the best thing that I've ever done. I love it. I love the relationships that I have with my boys. I love how close we are as a family. I love watching them now spread their wings and see where they're going to go. So it is worth it, even through all the hard days. And there were hard days. There were tears, there was frustration, but it was all 100% worth it.
Welcome to the Homeschool Compass podcast, a show that's all about finding confidence in community and help in the wisdom of those who've gone before. Today, I'm really excited to share a conversation with Dr. Kristen Moon on one of the homeschool subjects I find most intimidating, and that is science. Kristen is the perfect person to speak to this topic because she not only homeschooled her own two children from birth through high school graduation, but she also has a bachelor's degree in microbiology and a PhD in molecular genetics, and she's taught hundreds of students in homeschool co-ops and online science classes. If you find science overwhelming, or you're just not sure you have what it takes to offer your child an excellent science education at home, especially in the high school years, this episode is for you. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Dr. Kristen Moon.
Would you start out by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you came to homeschooling? Did you always know that you wanted to homeschool your kids?
I didn't. I grew up in a small town. I didn't know anybody who homeschooled. I didn't even know it was a thing. And then, in my young married life, I was in graduate school. So a lot of my peers were in research science, and I was one of the few that had children. And then when I had my first son, I realized I wanted to stay at home with him. So I left the lab to stay at home with him. And it was then when I started having other mom friends and all this kind of stuff that I first heard about homeschooling. And I thought, well, that's interesting. But still, I grew up in public school, traditional school. I just assumed my kids would follow that same path, my husband too. But my goodness, I just was having so much fun with my kids. And I loved learning with them, and I loved being there when they learned things. And I figured, well, you know what, why don't we give this a try? So when it came time to send my older son to preschool, we kept him home. And then that turned into kindergarten. And then once we got started, I mean, that was it. And once we did get started, I was committed to doing it through the whole thing. People would always say, well, what about high school? Surely you'll send them to traditional school at high school. And I was like, but why? Like, as far as I'm concerned, that's the fun stuff. Not that the elementary or middle school wasn't fun, but the high school stuff, you're starting to get into things that that really excite me. So that's what I looked forward to. So I knew we would homeschool the whole way.
That's awesome. Oh, that's so good to hear. I would love for you to tell us about some of your favorite memories from homeschooling science, especially with your kids. Does anything stand out to you as you look back on your time?
Oh, gosh, so much. And I miss it. I miss it because both of my boys are in college now. But I just loved the time together. I mean, just absolutely spending the time together and being there to watch them discover how the world works. And you don't have to go out of your way to do that because they're interested anyway. I mean, it could be so simple as, trying to decide why some things floated and why some things sunk in the pool, or going to a lake or a pond and finding some tadpoles and bringing them home and watching them turn into frogs, or just these kinds of things, just being there and watching as they discovered how incredible their world was. Dissecting owl pellets, that was fun. I don't know, some people might get upset at this, but there was, when we first got our dog, and she was a puppy, she got hold of a cardinal in the yard, and by the time we got it away from her, it was dead. And so, strange homeschool mamas as I am, we turned that into a science lesson and we dissected this dead cardinal. So I don't know. It was just always fun to take, wherever we were with the kids, you know, there was always something that we could explore. And that's just the fun thing about homeschooling. You don't have to stick to, you know, a certain book. You don't have to follow the lesson. If something comes up, you can pursue it.
Yes, you can take advantage of all those opportunities that daily life presents. That's so wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about how we can set our kids up for success with science? For those of us who have children who are still in the early years, what are some practical things that we can do to give our kids a really strong, solid foundation in science?
Well, the really awesome thing is that they're born scientists anyway. We all are. I think those of us who are parents can remember that one of the first words our children learned was why, and they ask it so many times. In fact, I looked up the average four-year-old can ask between 200 and 300 why questions a day. Oh, because they're so curious. They're trying to figure the world out. And it can be exhausting as parents. So sometimes we get kind of like, not frustrated, but in a way, sometimes we're a little bit happy when that stage of constant questioning is behind us. But really and truly, to set our kids up for success, we should continue to foster them asking why about the world. And they do have the questions. I mean, all around us, there are questions. You know, if you live someplace where there's fireflies, why do fireflies flash? And then where do they go in the winter? Why is some snow better at making snowballs than others? Why do mosquitoes seem to bite some people more than others? These are questions that they may have already come up with. And so the really important thing, that's like the first step in the scientific method, is to make an observation and then take it a step further and ask, well, why? Why is this? Why does this happen? Why does this occur this way? And then you're on your way to doing science. So one of the best things that you can do as a parent to set your kids up for success is to continue to foster this love of learning, this curiosity. And, you know, maybe you don't know the answer and maybe they don't know the answer. So model how to find out the answer. You know, use the library if you're able to. If you've got books, like most of us have this wonderful library of books that we've picked up at thrift stores and yard sales, go see if you can find the answer in a book. And if you can't, guess what? We've got technology, and there's like, you can always find the answer to the question using technology. And if it turns out that you ask a question that, or your children ask a question that you can't find the answer to, then maybe it's something that you can do an experiment. And then, you know, you find out the answer yourself. I always use a funny example in my own life. And this was just a few years ago. My dog loves cheese. That doesn't make her unique. But so whenever she hears me in the kitchen, she comes to the kitchen. And if she hears me opening a bag of cheese, well, now she's super excited. And so I usually am kind and I sprinkle some of the cheese on the floor for her to eat. I mean, that might make me gross. That might make me a horrible housekeeper. I'm just being honest. But I noticed that if I spilled mozzarella cheese or some cheese, she found it. But it seemed like when I sprinkled cheddar cheese, she couldn't find it. And this happened enough times that it started to make me wonder, is she not able to see the color orange? And so I came up with an experiment. I took some carrots and shredded carrots, and I dropped those on the floor, and she couldn't see those. And so that led me to look online to figure out, can dogs truly not see orange as well as other colors? And it's true. Orange is a color that dogs cannot see. And so that was just a silly example of an observation that I made that led to a question. And then instead of just having the question and walking away and never solving the, you know, answering the question, just take it a step further and find the answer. Just do some research or conduct your own experiment. This is simple science. I mean, you don't have to follow a textbook. We are built this way. We want to know how our world works.
That is so great. I think sometimes I rush to just quick Google the answer. But if we can help our kids design their own experiment to find the answer, then they're getting all that great practice with the scientific method and learning how science really works. That's so great.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the scientific method as if you absolutely, you have to have a lab notebook and you have to be writing. But we use the scientific method. Just last week in my biology class, when we were talking about this, we said, what would you do if you got into your car and you went to start the car and it didn't work, if it didn't turn over? Well, that's your observation. My car won't start. So then you come up with a question. Why won't my car start? And then you probably formulate a hypothesis. Well, maybe it's because my battery's dead. So then you design an experiment. You jumpstart your car. How did your experiment work out? Did your car start or did it not? Was your hypothesis correct or was it incorrect? And if it was incorrect, if your car still doesn't start, well, then maybe you're out of gas. And you just work your way through. It doesn't have to be confined to beakers and petri dishes and test tubes. We actually use the same process in our daily lives. We just have to recognize it.
That's awesome. That's so great. So I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this to you, Kristen, but when I think about teaching science to my kids at home, the first thing that comes to mind for me is the mess. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be baking soda and vinegar and dirt and mud, and I just don't even want to go down that path. So what would you say to those of us who are really put off by the messiness of trying to do science at home?
Well, I should confess that I am not a super tidy person. I like things clean, but I am messy, and my husband is very the opposite. So we've had a very interesting 25 years together. But still, I do understand this. So we were fortunate until about 6 years ago, we lived in Florida. So the weather's always nice in Florida. You can typically take any messy experiment outside. And so like when we did the vinegar baking soda volcano, we did that outside. Anything involving mud, we did it outside. So when we could, we would do things outside. But if you're gonna do things inside, and I understand depending on where you live, that might be quite often, or if you don't have a nice yard to play with or whatever, if there's possible that you could find like one little space in your house, maybe it's a corner of the kitchen, maybe it's in your basement, maybe it's in your garage, where it's okay to make a mess. I mean, I'm not saying do science everywhere, do science in the bedroom and on the dining room table and everywhere. If you can confine it to one space, well, then maybe the mess doesn't feel so overwhelming. I know in our house, we always had something growing in the windowsill of the kitchen. It was either a plant that we were watching grow, or we were trying to see if bacteria would grow in chicken broth, or we had an egg that we were dissolving its shell in vinegar. So there was always like one little corner of the kitchen, and I would put up a little sign that said, science, do not touch or do not throw away.
Yeah.
So, but if you're getting into more mess than that, like if you're dissecting an owl pellet or you're dissecting anything really, you know, I always like to stock up at the dollar store on those really big, cheap tablecloths. And then you could always just spread that out on the table. You could spread it on the floor. You can let your kids make a mess for that day, whatever they're doing. And then when you're done, you just pick up the whole thing and throw it in the trash, and that's it. Yeah. So I do understand not wanting a mess, but you have to balance also, you have to understand that it is important for them to get the hands-on learning. So if you can find a compromise, if you can find a way to either make a little corner of your house, do really messy things outside, and then, you know, when you are going to make a mess, you know, try to make the surface easily cleanable when you're done. Those are the tips that I have found worked for me.
That's really helpful. I think I need to think through how I can take advantage of the times of year when there's nice weather and we can do more things outside, and then maybe I wouldn't be so put by that. That's a really good suggestion. As we think about moving into the older grades and homeschooling high school science, it seems like that can be really intimidating for a lot of people. Why do you think that science especially seems to intimidate homeschool parents? And what can we do if we feel that way?
I think the reason that people get intimidated by high school science, and I also would say high school math, is because I think that they feel like they have to know it. And maybe if they don't feel competent, if they don't feel like they did well in high school science or high school math, then they feel like they're not going to be able to help their children through those stages. So the thing I want to say about that is that we live in a time that it's never been easier to homeschool high school science and math because of technology. Once again, if your student is, you know, working through their textbook and they come to something that they don't understand and you don't understand it, well, number one, you can learn it alongside them. I've still been learning things beside my students or my kids, and my kids are in college now and they still come home and they tell me what they're learning. It's like the tables have turned. I'm gonna tell you, that's something you have to look forward to. It's amazing. And I think I know I'm getting off on a tangent. I'll get back to the question. I feel like that you, by homeschooling our kids, we have developed this relationship where we teach them and they ask us questions. And then I feel like then when they get to college and they're learning things, because you have this relationship, they want to come and teach you what they've learned. My son has a whiteboard in his room because he's like his mom and he likes whiteboards. He has been explaining calculus and differential equations. My younger son comes home from doing his biology labs and tells me what he's learned. It's amazing. I love that they love to share their stuff that they're learning with me. So we never stop learning. So don't feel like if you don't know it already that you're sunk, because you're not, because you can learn it with your kids. But secondly, back to technology. If your student gets to something and you don't understand how to teach it, then go to technology. YouTube, honestly, you know, I know that for a while it had a bad rap, but there are some amazing content creators on YouTube. I even have on my YouTube channel, I don't create many videos, but I have playlists for high school biology, high school chemistry, high school physics, and high school anatomy and physiology. And whenever I find a really great video that someone has done very well, I add it to that playlist. So then people, you know, if you're coming to learn about photosynthesis, you can go to my biology playlist and scroll down and find a video about photosynthesis. But there are just some really great content creators. You know, they're teachers or students themselves, and they explain it in such a good way. I use videos all the time in my classes, and my kids use them too. So there's technology. There's always Khan Academy. They do a really good job at explaining things. Anymore, schools like MIT and Harvard have made some of their courses and materials available for free that you can, you know, take. There are online labs and simulations and all kinds of neat things that your children can do to understand it better. And then don't forget, there are also, you know, if you're still feeling insecure, you can always outsource. When we're not under a pandemic, you know, our students, my kids always participated in co-ops. I would teach science, but I would have somebody else teach my kids art or music or language, because those are not my strengths. So maybe you can find a co-op of other families that, you know, your students can join, and then maybe they can go to co-op and have science in a co-op setting. Maybe somebody else is passionate about teaching science. They can teach your child science. And then the beauty of that is that often you can get your labs done at co-op. So, you know, you're paying for all the materials and the lab equipment, and they're doing it together, which makes it a little more fun. There's only one mess to clean up. Yeah. And, you know, and then you're taking care of that. And then there's also online classes. So you can also have your student take a class from an online educator who, once again, is passionate about their subject. And then you don't have to personally know how to do, you know, balance equations or stoichiometry yourself. You can let somebody else do it for you. So I really think this is a great time to be homeschooling and homeschooling science.
It's true. There's so many resources available nowadays that we can take advantage of. That's wonderful. For people who recognize that they have a child who is potentially going to go down a science-related career path, what should we think about in terms of how to prepare that child? Is there anything we need to make sure we include in their high school science program?
One thing that is very important is to make sure that they're keeping up with math. Mm-hmm. In all my years of teaching high school, I get students coming into my classes in co-op and online, and they're really excited about the science, but the math gives them trouble. Now, that's usually not a problem in biology. Biology doesn't really use too much math, but it does come into play when you're doing physical science or physics or chemistry. Really, by the time your students are taking chemistry, they really should have algebra under their belt. So as you're thinking about high school, make sure that you're keeping up with math. When my kids were in homeschool, we may have co-op, we may take field trips, we may do history 3 days a week or what, but they would always do math every day because math was just a given, because I knew that they needed to be proficient in math to be successful in high school and in college. So really, they need to make sure that they're keeping up with math, and that by the time they're taking chemistry, they have algebra under their belt. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is, you know, just continue to encourage them to be curious. Encourage them when they have a question, when they wonder, you know, why something happens, how the world works. Encourage them to find their own answer. And sometimes, you know, technology is so great, but it also can make us a little bit lazy. It's so easy to ask, you know, Google Home or Alexa what time it is or who sings this song. And so then when you actually have to put in a little bit of effort, it's like, man, it's just, why? I'm not going to. So really, if we can continue to encourage our kids to find the answer, to put in the effort, to learn how to investigate, if they're finding a resource online, to understand how to figure out, is that a trustworthy resource, or is that a resource that maybe isn't the best place for us to be finding our facts? These are just important things to set them up. And then I really feel like most students, even if they're not going on to college, they should have a nice understanding of biology and chemistry. Now, maybe they don't have to have a super arduous chemistry course, but they should have an understanding of how the world works, you know, what temperature is, what the periodic table is about, why, you know, what are the different elements, and how do elements matter to me as, you know, somebody who's cooking dinner? Why do I care about elements? Why do I care about, I don't know, something biology related? It all matters. Even if you're not going into science, this is still your life, and it's still very helpful to have a basic understanding of how the world works.
Yes. So for those kids who maybe aren't going to go into science, or maybe they're not even going to go to college at all, would you say biology, it sounds like, and chemistry might be part of that fundamental body of knowledge that all children need to have? Would you say there's anything else related to that?
Once again, if you really and truly have an idea that your student is not interested in going into college or into a science, so maybe you don't have to go so hardcore. Maybe instead of a true biology, you could call it life science, and maybe you could take it a little easy. But I still feel like they should know what a cell is. I still feel like they should understand DNA and what it does in a human body or in any living thing. And I do feel like having some fundamental understanding of chemistry is helpful. The thing that I hear a lot, that parents saying, well, my kid's not going into science, or my kid's not going into college, so they don't have to do such and such. And, you know, of course, you know your child more than I do. But I have also witnessed some kids who maybe did not discover that they really liked something until their junior or senior year of high school. And maybe then they decide they want to go to college, but maybe then they don't have some of the things under their belt that they needed to. So my approach, and of course, this is just my opinion, my approach was always almost over-prepare. You know, what if your son or daughter decides they want to go to college? It's kind of nice to have the core requirements under the belt so that when they apply to college, they can get in. Because otherwise, they're going to have to, you know, they might not be able to do it. And that's a really sad situation. So So now you know, you might not give your students who you don't think are going into college as rigorous of a science education, but I still think providing a basic education so that if they've changed their minds and if they want to go on to college, that they can, that they are qualified to do that.
Yes, I totally agree. That's a great point. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today, Kristen, and thank you for being such a great resource to the homeschool community. I wonder if you have any final words of encouragement for us, and also if you can tell people where they can connect with you online and about some of the resources that you have, because you have such a wonderful wealth of information for people on your Facebook page and your blog and other places as well.
Okay, so my encouragement would be enjoy it. It goes fast, and I know that people hear that all the time. And I would also say you are going to have hard days. We all have hard days. It doesn't matter what we do. We're going to have hard days. That doesn't make you a failure. That doesn't mean you have to throw in the towel. Just you're going to get through it. And it's okay sometimes to put away the books. Maybe you're having a frustrating day. I know that my son, who has dyslexia, if he was starting to feel ill with a cold, he's great at math, but his math facts would go out the window if he was starting to feel bad. So I could either continue to push him and force him to get his math lesson done, or I can appreciate the fact he's not feeling very well. Doesn't matter how many hours we spend doing math, it's not really going to help him learn. So we're going to put the books away and we're going to snuggle on the couch and maybe watch a movie or something like that. That's okay. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We are not in competition with anybody else. Our kids are gifted with talents and passions and even weaknesses. That is okay. We as homeschoolers can provide a tailor-made education, tailor-made to their unique personalities and gifts. It doesn't have, our education that we give them does not have to look like everybody else's. So anyway, that's my encouragement. Homeschooling my kids was absolutely the best thing that I've ever done. I love it. I love the relationships that I have with my boys. I love how close we are as a family. I love watching them now spread their wings and see where they're going to go. So it is worth it. Even through all the hard days, and there were hard days, there were tears, there was frustration. But it was all 100% worth it. As for where you can find me, so I was not really inventive with my business name. It's just Kristen Moon Science. So that's where you can find me on Instagram. That's where you can find me on Facebook. And that's where you can find me online. I have a website, KristenMoonScience.com. I'm probably most active on Facebook. I'm just most comfortable with Facebook. And so that's where I share lesson ideas and websites that I find and experiment ideas and cool videos and all kinds of things. So I do that. On my website, I share blogs, and the blogs are mainly, I mean, they can be written for anybody. I have adults that like reading my blogs, but I also have people who tell me that their students, their kids read my blogs too, because I try to take the science of everyday things and break it down into a way that's easily understandable. Like one of the recent ones I did was about sweat. Why do we sweat? What is the purpose of sweat? And why do we seem to get so much hotter when it's humid out? So there's a relationship. And so I explained that in the blog post. And I've also got one about fungi. I've got ones about birds and why birds, you know, how birds build nests and how baby birds breathe through eggs and just all kinds of neat things. So I have that. And then I also have some self-paced online classes that I've written, and they're mainly geared toward high school. I have been teaching high school science for a long time, and I found that I had to supplement a lot to the textbooks in a few areas. And one of the areas especially was when they start learning about DNA. I find DNA fascinating, and there are so many incredible careers available for this generation if they have a good understanding about DNA. So I really wanted to expand on the topic of DNA. So I've written a self-paced course on DNA, and I've done another one on genetics and heredity with all kinds of Punnett squares. And So these can be used either alone, or if your student's taking biology and they just want to learn a little bit more about DNA or genetics, then you could take these classes to supplement. I think that was everything that you asked.
Yes. Well, it's been such a delight to talk to you today, Kristen. Thank you very much for being with us.
It was my pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kristen. For show notes, as well as links to all the resources we mentioned today, head to homeschoolcompass.com/podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, would you please take a moment to leave us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts? It helps more people find these encouraging conversations. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, remember, you are loved and you are not alone.